Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Let's pray and ask God's help. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You care about us so much that You give us Your Word and give us rebukes and teach us wisdom. Lord, we pray that You would pour out Your Spirit on us today. Lord, that we might have ears to hear, Lord, what You are saying to the church. Lord, we ask that You would change us and shape us and mold us, Lord, according to Christ's image. And so do that, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So last week, we received a stern warning from God. We received a stern warning from God. We saw that there is a point in life where God's patience runs out. Where God's patience, though He is so patient, so much more patient than we are. Oh, how we get mad so quickly. And God has every right to get mad so quickly, but He does not get mad so quickly because He is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relents from doing harm. But there is a time when His patience does run out. There is a time when His patience does run out. And we read about that in Proverbs 1, 25 through 28. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. This week, we continue to learn how to prevent that from happening. How to prevent such a state in which God's patience is done, He is over with us, and we cry and pray to Him, and He does not answer. How do we prevent that from happening? How do we prevent that from happening? And we see in our text today, first, receive and treasure God's words. Receive and treasure God's words. Verses 1 and 2, my son. Again, this book is written to instruct young men how to walk with Jesus. It is applicable for old men and young women and old women and children. It's applicable for all of us. But he's writing to a son, and we get to overhear what God is saying and learn from this. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. I would encourage you to turn this into prayer. Turn the Bible into prayer. If you want to learn how to pray, read the Bible and pray the Bible. Read the Bible and pray the Bible. And so we read these verses. Lord, help me receive your words. Father, help me treasure up your commands. Lord, make my ear attentive to wisdom. Incline my heart to understanding, O Lord. You can do that all over the Bible. Turn it into prayer. You want to learn to pray with power? Memorize the Word and pray the Word back to God. God loves it when we pray His Word back to Him. And so pray for this. God, we pray You would do this, Lord, that today through this sermon we would receive Your Word and treasure them up. We pray, oh God, You would incline our heart to understanding. And so we pray to God. We call out to Him and ask for help. And we're called to receive God's Word. Receive God's Word. Receive wisdom's Word. Pastor Bridges talks about receiving the word like the good soil. Remember the parable of the soils? And you have it falls on the path and the devil eats it up and it falls on the rocky soil so it doesn't take root and cares the world in persecution. Calls the word to go away. We turn away from God when persecution comes, or it falls among the thorns and the cares of the world, the riches, money, choke out the word. And we want the word to fall on good soil. So pray today that God would give you a good soil heart to receive what God is saying through His appointed minister, through His word. Pray that you would receive that. Receive the word like the Bereans. The Bereans, remember the Bereans in Acts 17:11, it says they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So they received them with eagerness. They were eager, and they were, as the pastor preached, they were looking at the Bible to see if it's in the Bible. So that's why you need to have a Bible with you, so that when I'm preaching, you can actually be looking at the Bible and seeing if the things that I'm saying are so. If you don't have a Bible, again, we would love to give you a Bible so that you could carry it every Sunday here and have it open while I'm preaching, so that you can see if the things that I'm saying are true. Receive the word like the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. And so we receive this as the words of God Almighty speaking to us. You can hear God speak today in His Word. We receive the Word as the Word of God. Do you, I'll ask some questions here, some searching questions. They're searching for my own heart. I hope they'll be searching for you. Do you regularly receive God's Word by reading the Bible? Do you regularly receive God's Word by reading the Bible, by studying the Scriptures on your own for yourself? Do you regularly receive God's Word by being here right now? This is a way that we receive God's Word. God commands us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so you wouldn't miss a day of work. Are you committed as much to this as to your job, to receive God's Word here? I would encourage you to even listen to sermons outside of here. There's so many resources we have as Christians that you can listen. If you go on our website, I've put people that I trust, because there are a lot of people that I don't trust. There are a lot of people that I would beg you not to listen to, because they twist God's Word. And the Bible says that in the last days, people will gather around themselves teachers to tell them what they want to hear, itching ears to tell them what they want to hear. So if you go on the website and go to sermons, you can see a list of godly teachers that I would recommend that you listen to. But receive the Word through sermons, even outside of Sunday, through Bible study. We have a Bible study every Wednesday night right here, where you can come and receive God's Word. And we're actually going through the book of Romans and talking about it interactively. But do you regularly receive God's Word? And secondly, do you treasure God's Word? Not just receive, but you notice it uses that language. Do you treasure God's Word? In Psalm 119:11, the Holy Spirit says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." The Spirit inspired the psalmist to write that the psalmist is storing up God's Word in his heart that he might not sin against God. And that word for stored up is the same word in our text for treasure. I have treasured up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've stored it up. I've memorized it. I've put it to memory that I might not sin against God. And so there's this sense of remembering and sense of prizing, of saying this is valuable. This is important. This is God's Word. And again, I would ask you, do you treasure God's Word? Do you treasure it? Is it precious to you? Psalm 119:72, the psalmist says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. If you were offered $20 billion, I'll give you $20 billion, but if I do, if you take the $20 billion, you can't read the Bible anymore. Would you take it? Would you take the $20 billion and not read God's Word anymore? Friend, you might take the $20 billion, but you cut yourself off from the life-giving Word of God, and you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul. Do you prize God's Word that way? More than thousands of pieces of gold and silver, do you ever memorize the Bible? Do you ever give yourselves to time of memorizing the Scripture? Are God's words precious to you? These are the first steps in becoming wise after God's own heart and guarding ourselves from going down the path of foolishness and sin. Secondly, we're called to ask and seek insight and understanding. Ask for and seek insight and understanding. Look at verses 3 through 5. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so we're called to pray for it, to pray, to raise our voice. I've been introduced to prayer here since I've been at this church of raising voices and wailing so much that if you came, it would probably scare you. But God calls us to do that, to cry out to God, to give me wisdom. Lord, I have no idea what to do in this situation. Please help me. I need you. And so we're called to call out for insight, to raise our voice for understanding. And if we're not doing that, we're probably very arrogant people. If we're not ever doing that, crying out to God, confessing, we don't know what to do, we're probably very arrogant people. We need to know that we need help. And that's one of the things prayer is for, is to cry out to God for help and understanding. Cry out for this. Pray for this. Seek this. Are you praying for growth in your Christian walk with Jesus? Is that something that you regularly pray for? Lord, I know I'm not where I should be. I want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Lord, I know I have much growth in those areas to bear that fruit. Help me do that. I remember hearing a conversation with a person and they said, I don't pray for myself, that's selfish. Well, I'm encouraging you to be selfish today in that regard. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. If you want to bless others, you need to get your own heart right with God before you can help anybody else. And so, as George Mueller said, the pastor who helped so many orphans in England, he said, the first business, the most important business of every day is not how I can serve someone else, how I can help an orphan, how I can witness to someone or whatever, but the most important business is to get my heart happy in Jesus. Get my heart happy in the Lord. Be satisfied in Jesus so that I'm operating, I'm living, I'm serving, I'm doing all that I do out of the joy of the Lord, so that when I do and people don't treat me like I think they ought, I love in return. Amen. You see, because it's the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord. I'm not doing it to get. I'm a slave of all. I'm a slave of all. Oh, how joyous life is when you view yourself as a slave of everyone else, to serve them, to care for them, to help them, to humble yourself under them and care for them. Do you pray for things like that? Lord, help me to be humble. Help me to be a servant. Help me to love others, grow in my Christ-likeness. I would encourage you to pray, call out, raise your voice, cry out to God for that. And the text also says that we should seek and search like we're searching for hidden treasure. In other words, we should work for this. We should put effort into this. We should labor for this, strive for this. We should sweat over this, the seeking like we're seeking for treasure. Treasure that would make us wise. Think of how we work hard at so many other things. I mean, we work hard at games. Oh, how much effort is put into games. I mean, people will fill that stadium soon to watch grown men throw a pigskin around and millions of dollars in and out for a little game. We put so much effort into our games. Whether it's Xbox or football or basketball or pickup games, we put a lot of effort into our gaming. Oh, how we ought to put so much more effort into our growing in Christ, seeking wisdom, knowledge of His Word. We work hard at fun. We work hard at fun. So much fun yesterday. So much money on fireworks, money on barbecue, money on all these things. We spend lots of resources and energy on our fun. But how much do we spend on growing in godliness and Christ-likeness? And please don't think I'm saying all those things are evil and bad. I'm just trying to make a comparison that we spend a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of money on these things. How are we doing with our growth in godliness? We work hard at school. I worked hard in school. We study. You've got to get your homework done. You've got to do this. We'll even say, well, I've got to do this, so I've got to cut this part of my maybe godly discipline out. I can't pray. Can't go to church. I've got a test tomorrow. Really? The living God. The living God. Put the living God on hold. How hard we work at school and study. How hard we work at home. How hard we work at our job. Our job. Can you imagine being late for your job over and over again? But we can be late for other things. Spiritual things. But we wouldn't be late for our job. What does that say about the value of our life? Yeah. What does that say? We work hard on our outward appearance. How much time did we spend this morning getting our outward self ready and to the possible neglect of our inner self? Oh, we spend lots of work on the outward. In an article in The Economist, and this was way back in 2003, analysts at Goldman Sachs estimate that the global beauty industry, consisting of skincare, worth $24 billion. Makeup, $18 billion. $38 billion for hair care products, and $15 billion for perfume. And that's growing at 7% a year. That's $95 billion spent on by the world just so we look better and smell better. And it's growing 7% every year. We spend a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort on our outward appearance. And this text is encouraging us to diligently seek, put effort, put labor into growing in the inner man. Growing in the inner man. Growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be our main priority. It ought to be a main priority in our lives. And the reward for receiving God's Word, for treasuring God's Word, for praying for God's wisdom and seeking godly wisdom, the reward we see in verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So as we receive God's Word, as we treasure God's Word, as we pray for God's wisdom, as we seek godly wisdom, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of the wisdom, and you'll find the knowledge of God. Do you remember what John says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in John 17:3 about to know God? John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. This is eternal life, that we might know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, who the Father has sent. Those of you who are here this morning and aren't believers, aren't Christians, we're glad that you're here. We want you to be here. And I want to ask you as well, are you seeking the knowledge of God? Are you seeking the knowledge of God? I grew up in a very a religious atmosphere, was taken to church. I was a very moral young man. I thought it was very important to be moral and to be in church. But something happened in my life, a crisis of faith, if you will, that turned my world upside down and drove me to seek a true knowledge of God. No longer just going through the motions. Yes, I go. My mom takes me. This is what I've always done. I'm a Christian. I know Jesus died for my sins. I know He rose from the dead. I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. Now, I want to go home and eat and play football. That was me for 18 years. And then something happened, a crisis of faith in my life that drove me to seek a true knowledge of God, to thirst and hunger after God's Word, to read other books about God and the knowledge of God and the truth about God, because God put a fear in my heart of my sin and of hell and of judgment and sort of opened my eyes to see my dreadful plight. Unbeliever, do you feel this? Do you know the horror of what I was speaking of last week? That there's a time when you won't be able to cry out to God anymore. There's a time when God will not hear your prayers. There's a time when you will be in hell someday and God will laugh at you and mock as you suffer and wail and cry out in shrieks of the pain of the everlasting wrath of God falling upon you. There's a day coming like that, and God has sent me here this morning to warn you to flee and turn to Christ that you might be delivered from that judgment. Flee from the wrath to come. He will save you. You see, He loves sinners. It's an amazing truth that God loves people who hate His guts. He loves people who, if they were strong enough and powerful enough, would strangle God to death. And yet He loves them. That's why it's so amazing, for God so loved the world. The wicked, evil, rebellious, God-hating, God-killing world. God so loved that world. The world that's so bad that the same author in the epistle says, do not love the world or the things of the world. You see, God loves that world so much that He gave the most tremendous gift He could ever give. Jesus Christ, the God-man, who loved and served and died on the cross and rose from the dead, so that if you turn from your sins and believe in Jesus, He will save you, because He raised Jesus up from the dead. He conquered sin, death, and hell. And anyone, no matter what you've done, how bad you've been, how much you've scoffed at God, you've not listened to His calls, you've been bored with God, you find His Word boring. I did before I was a Christian. No matter what your sin, if you turn and trust Christ, He will save you. He will forgive you. He will make His home in your heart and dwell in you. You will become the temple of the living God, and He will give you joy and pleasure forevermore someday. Friends, that's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what we as Christians enjoy. And Christian brother, sister, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you today to read God's Word, but when you taste and see that the Lord is good, it will be like chocolate to your soul to read God's Word, to listen to God's Word, to be with God's people, to listen. You'll crave it. You'll become addicted to the Word of the living God, and you'll delight to read God's Word, to receive God's Word, to treasure God's Word. He will change you so that you desire Him. And so, there'll be no arm twisting to be with the Lord. You will be like a lover who has deep pains and sickness, love sickness, to be with her beloved, so you will long to be with your Lord in word and prayer. Friends, I pray that kind of desire would grow in my life, in my heart. I mean, we all have room to grow in this, and so we ought to be praying, Lord, help me more and more be able to cry like the psalmist, whom have I in heaven but You? There's nothing upon earth I desire besides You. So pray that God would do that in our hearts. If you're an unbeliever, come to lunch afterwards. I'd love to speak with you more about the gospel. See me in the back. We want you to know our lover Jesus. We want you to be forgiven, to be saved, and to be filled with Him. Finally, the last point I have today is that the Lord gives wisdom. See in our text that the Lord gives wisdom. And so far, you might be thinking, wow, this seems sort of works-oriented. I got to do this, and I got to do that. I got to receive. I got to treasure. I got to do this. Yes. Nothing in the Bible or the Christian gospel is antithetical to us working hard. Working hard with our hands, laboring, working, striving, you see. And we're to do that. And yet, unless God acts, all our working is in vain. All our working and striving is in vain. We need this from God. We need this from God. Proverbs 2, 6 through 8. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. And so we see here that wisdom is a gift from God. We're to receive the Word. We're to treasure the Word. We're to seek the Word. We're to pray for wisdom. And as we pray, God gives it. It's a gift. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. And so wisdom is a gift from God. Knowing that wisdom is a gift from God should encourage us to pray. It should be an encouragement to pray. God has to give it. So, Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. Help me. Knowing wisdom is a gift from God keeps us humble. It keeps us humble. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? So, we as Christians are supposed to know we have nothing to boast about. If I am saved, it's a gift from God. If I have a gift, whatever it might be, a gift of singing, a gift of playing the piano, a gift of preaching, teaching the Word, a gift of truck driving, a gift of janitorial work, a gift of construction, whatever God has gifted us in, these gifts, they're given to us by God. That he made us. He gave us the gifts. He will use them as He pleases. We can't boast about this, and so is wisdom. Wisdom is a gift. We can't boast about our wisdom because God gave it to us. Knowing wisdom is a gift from God encourages us to seek the right kind of wisdom. Friends, there are so many false wisdoms. Wisdom of the world. That sounds good when you first hear it, but then you examining it according to the Bible, and it's not true. It's false wisdom. That's why it's so important that we be saturated with this book and know this book, that we might not be led astray by the wisdom of the world. James 3:16 through 17 speaks about this godly wisdom. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Knowing wisdom is a gift from God encourages us to seek this right kind of wisdom, this precious, beautiful wisdom that comes from God, this wisdom that is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. That's the kind of wisdom we ought to be seeking and praying for. And notice the promise for those who receive and walk in this wisdom. God is a shield to those who walk in integrity. God is a shield to those who walk in integrity. What is a shield? A shield, in battle, it protects you. It protects you from the swords of the enemy, the arrows of the enemy, the spears of the enemy, the battle axes of the enemy. The shield is to protect you from the enemy who is trying to hurt you, trying to kill you. So God is a shield. He's a protector to those who walk in integrity. So there's a condition on that promise. You must walk in integrity. What is integrity? Integrity basically means to walk blameless, to walk uprightly. It speaks of a singleness of heart. I just want to please Jesus. I want to please the Lord. I've got no pretenses here. I'm not trying to hide. I'm open and honest with my sin and my shortcomings, my failures. I am weak. I am needy. But I want Christ. I want to be more like Christ. I want to follow Jesus. Integrity means that you get the most displeasure from offending your God. And you get the most pleasure from living in a way that pleases your God. That's integrity. It does what it does behind closed doors, even though nobody's going to find out about it, because it's doing it for God who sees behind all closed doors. You see. It's not worried about them finding out and then I'll be in trouble for embezzlement. It just doesn't go there. It doesn't lie. It never lies. It tells the truth because God is a God of truth and loves the truth. And one who walks in integrity fears the Lord. Fears the Lord more than human authorities finding out about something. Children. One who walks in integrity fears God more than parents. And so you don't do what you know you ought not to do because you want to please God, not because your parents might find out about it. That's a person, a young person, a child who walks in integrity. There's this singleness of heart, singleness of mind, singleness of focus on pleasing and following Christ. And those who walk in integrity like that, not necessarily somebody who's perfect, by the way, not somebody who never sins. There was only one of them. His name's Jesus. But it is someone who, when confronted about their sin, grieves over it and turns from it and fights to forsake it. So we Christians, we aren't perfect. We are forgiven and we hate our sin. And we seek to turn from it and follow Christ. God will watch over those who walk in integrity like that and grant them justice. So that we might achieve what God calls us to do in Proverbs 2, 1 through 8. How do we accomplish this? How will we accomplish this? How will we walk this way in integrity? Well, we need someone to go before us who came and achieved this for us perfectly first. And so when I'm preaching a text, I always like to just read back over that text and think about my Jesus. And it's amazing, this text begins with my son. Jesus is a son, and his father is speaking to him. He was read this passage growing up. My son, Jesus heard these words. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments. Oh, how Jesus did that. Like no one has ever received God's word or treasured up the commandments. He is the word. And he received the word of his father, always doing what pleased the father. As the father said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He made his ear attentive to wisdom. He inclined his heart to understanding. He cried out. He would often cry out for insight. He would go and hide away and be alone with his father all night, praying and seeking his Lord. He sought it like silver, searched for it like hidden treasure. He understood the fear of the Lord like no one else, and he found the knowledge of God, for the Lord gave him wisdom, made him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ Jesus. And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He received from the Father's mouth this knowledge and understanding. He stored up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. Jesus did all that. He lived that way perfectly like no one ever has. But friends, for God so loved the world, he gave the Son. Yes, yes, yes. And so though Jesus lived that way, his Father was not a shield to him on that day. His Father was not a shield to the one man who walked in perfect integrity. He was not a shield, not a protector. He took the divine shield away from all the darts of the devil and the evil one and wicked men. He removed the divine shield and let every evil, the worst evil, the greatest evil, pounce on His Son. He made Him sin who knew no sin and crushed Him on that cross, removed the shield and let His Son be decimated by the evils of this world. And He gave His Son justice, the justice that we deserve, the hell that we deserve. He gave to His Son on the cross who suffered the wrath of His Father. And praise God, it didn't end there. Because since Jesus is the sinless one who never sinned, death could not hold Him. And so He was raised from the dead. And God was that shield to Him. And God blessed him, and God watched over him, and God did give him justice in saving myriads of sinners whom He came to die for. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. That's our wisdom. He's our wisdom. He's whom we want to receive from. He's whom we want to seek. He's whom we want to live for and delight in. Jesus Christ is wisdom's treasure. He's knowledge and instruction without measure. So seek in Him your greatest pleasure. Jesus is always the most upright, blameless, with integrity out of sight, yet He would take our wicked plight and suffer God's eternal smite. No shield to guard Him from the bite, endured sin's bitter darkest night, but then He rose as hope's great light. He's our strong and fighting knight, has all might, saves from any plight, forever will excite as heaven's height and purest delight. So trust in Him and in that power of knowing who you are in Him and what He's done for you, live upright. God's precious words you must receive. Remember, treasure, and believe. Then God's Spirit you won't grieve. A wise and holy life achieve. You'll follow Christ and never leave. The lies of sin will not deceive. You'll run to Him by faith and cleave. From all your fears He will relieve. Full joy in Him you will have forever that you can't even conceive right now. Friends, this is the good news of what we can have if we seek after the Lord by faith. Trust in Him and follow Him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we want to be more diligent, Lord. We want to be more faithful. We want to be more humble, more loving, more gracious. Lord, we want to more and more learn the radical nature of the life Christ calls us to love our enemies, bless those who curse us, pray for those who persecute us. God, especially in these times, as things are rapidly changing in our country and what is seen as right and holy and pure, Father, we need Your help. God, we need Your help to know how to live and love and speak the truth in love and humility and be wise. So God, make us wise as serpents and innocent as doves with the wisdom which is from above, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, we have the honor and privilege of enjoying the Lord.